stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
And now, broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, you're listening to Sam and Steph in the Morning. If you'd like to take part in the show today, please dial 323-203-0815. And now, here are your program hosts, Sam and Steph, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Tuesday, November 22nd.
Good morning.
We're back here after keeping you guys waiting for three friggin' days.
Long weekend. That was my fault. I'm sorry, everyone.
Well, welcome back.
Yes.
And we love to have you here all healthy and shiny.
I'm glowing. I feel glowing.
Yes.
Oh, man. I think I'm just overwhelmed. I'm doing too many things, but I'm also right now house sitting for a friend.
Oh, really?
A next door neighbor.
Is it a nice house?
It's a gorgeous house. And mm-hmm. She has a cat, and I have to, you know, the cat, of course, needs medications throughout the whole freaking day. So I'm just like constantly running back and forth. And
wow. Don't you just love pets, you know?
I know. This was an eye-opener.
Yeah.
I've been really wanting a pet so badly.
Really?
But, you know, when you take care of one for 10 days, I'm like, kill me now.
Yeah, I know. It's too much responsibility, you know?
It is.
It's enough that we have kids. We don't need
animals. What does that say about me, though? It's just a cat. It's not even a dog. I can't handle taking care of a cat. Oh, my Lord. I can barely take care of myself. That's horrible.
Well, you know, I mean, it depends. I think if it was your pet, you'd probably give it more attention, you know?
That's true.
It's just like with kids, you know? I mean, you can like kids, but when they're yours, they're better.
Right, of course. Also, I just wish I could take the cat to my house, you know?
Yeah.
Going back and forth, it's a little bit of a pain.
Yeah.
If the cat was at my house, I wouldn't mind as much, you know?
Oh, really?
I don't have to go out of my way to get to their place to feed him every 10 frickin' minutes.
Right, yeah. But you said it was a next-door neighbor.
Well, in the same neighborhood, but not like I can walk across the street kind of a deal. You know, I have to get in my car. I have to drive over.
You have to drive there?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. We're in the same neighborhood. I'm not going to walk.
Well, same neighborhood. I'm picturing, you know, maybe a few houses down.
No, no. Totally different street.
Really?
Yeah. They're like 2 miles away from my house. I look like I'm lazy.
Yeah. Well, no. It's not next door. That's all it is.
Right.
You know, but that's not lazy. I mean, I would drive probably. If I have to go down the street, I will drive.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? That's just how we all are now. I don't know.
Yeah.
In LA especially. I mean, I know other places like in Maryland, you know, you'd walk to the grocery store because it's just down the street.
Yeah.
You'd walk.
I mean, here you'd be hard-pressed to get people to park far from the entrance to the store.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people don't want to walk at all. They'll wait 2 hours till they get parking right next to the door.
And New York's totally different from that.
You
walk everywhere. I saw a screening last night.
Did you really?
Yeah, it's called Rampart.
Uh-huh.
The neighborhood, I guess, that's here. Are you familiar with the neighborhood?
Yes, I am. Yeah. In fact, it was in the news with the...
It's a bad neighborhood?
Yeah, it's not great. Yeah.
Okay. Yikes. Well, I saw the movie, and it's actually funny because a friend of mine invited me to this screening. It's a very it's a special screening for just like certain DGA members and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But we watched the movie, and then afterwards there was a Q&A, and Woody Harrelson was there, as well as
really?
Ben Foster, the director Oren. I cannot pronounce his last name.
Mm-hmm.
But this is Oren's only his second movie that he's directed.
Mm.
The movie was brilliant. I mean, really great. I recommend it to anyone.
Really?
Basically, Woody Harrelson plays a cop, and just he's doing everything wrong. I mean, he's really.
So they showed the whole movie.
Yeah, we watched the whole movie.
Okay.
It was great. I definitely recommend when it comes out. I think it's having limited screenings right now. It'll only be out for like a week.
Mm-hmm.
And check where. I want to say the Landmark Theater, but I'm not quite sure. And then after that, I think it will re-release after the new year.
Right.
So right now it's just kind of limited, but great movie.
What's it about?
It's about an LAPD cop, Woody, that's played by Woody Harrelson, who's just going through a lot. I mean, he's just a, he's a bit of a dog, honestly.
Right.
And he's doing, he's just kind of seeing what he can get away with, pretty much. He's in just a bad place. He does, let's see what actually they
say. Is he a bad cop, or?
He's a bad cop, meaning, I mean, he's, he takes advantage of people and is doing things very, I don't, it's, it says, the description says that, it's set in the early 1990s in Los Angeles. He's a veteran. Oh, I just lost myself. I just moved it. Another guy. Sorry.
But I remember the Rampart Police Precinct was in the news when, I don't know if you remember, but it was back in the 90s when they found a few cops not guilty of the Rodney King thing. So you probably don't remember this. You didn't live here at the time.
No, I did
but,
not.
But... there was a video of a few cops beating up a driver that they pulled over, and that was Rodney King. So it started like a whole racial thing here in L.A., and there were riots and all kinds of things. So a lot of the stuff was happening
there.
Well,
there was definitely
a
situation where he ends up beating up, you know, somebody.
Really?
But it was kind of set up weird, too, because the guy... it's like the driver of this one car literally purposely runs into Woody Harrelson's, you know, police car.
Really?
So Woody, you know, jumps out of the car and is like, dude, what? And then the guy, like, bangs the door into his, like, crotch.
Uh-huh.
And Woody has to go chasing him, and then he beats the shit out of him.
Really?
But all, of course, that the video cameras catch is him beating the shit out of the guy.
Yeah.
The description just says, set in the early 1990s, Los Angeles, veteran police officer, played by Woody Harrelson, is the last of the renegade cops, works to take care of his family, struggles for his own survival.
Right. So you see, it pretty much...
very simple description, but the movie's great. It's really brutal.
It kind of mirrors reality, you know? Mm. I mean, that's, you know, that they picked Rampart out of all the precincts and divisions in the police in L.A., I think says something.
Yeah, yeah. It does, absolutely. Dun, dun, dun. Woody even said, though, he's very curious to see what the actual LAPD will say about it, you know?
Yeah,
because it doesn't show the good side
like
of cops.
It.
At the same time, though, the movie is not... Oren, the director, made a point to say the movie is not about the LAPD, you know? It's just it's truly about this particular person's situation that he was in.
Right.
And how he dealt with it.
Is this Oren guy an Israeli? Because the name Oren is Israeli. You can't pronounce the last name?
No, it's like Moversman. Moversman. It's nothing crazy.
Yeah. Well, maybe. Maybe it's just Jewish. Who knows?
Yeah. Of course he's Jewish.
Yeah.
Right? He's got to be Jewish. He made a great movie and he's wealthy. Has to be Jewish.
Oh, wow.
The friend that took me, he's Jewish.
Yeah.
But good movie. I definitely recommend checking it out once it's, you know,
available.
Okay,
well, we'll check it out. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. In a few minutes, we're going to talk to an author who wrote the book Kick-Ass Business and Marketing Secrets, How to Blitz Your Competition. And I thought that was kind of cool. So a lot of people are starting their own businesses and stuff, and I thought, you know, this is pretty cool. It shows you some of the things.
Yeah,
of,
I'm curious to see what she has to say.
Yeah.
He or she.
He.
Okay.
He. It's Bob Pritchard.
This is helpful for us, too. LA Talk Radio, Sam and Steph Show.
Yeah, marketing. There you go. And you got your purse business and everything, you know.
Yeah.
And,
SLDcollection.com.
Yes. Don't forget it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, let's see. So, we have Thanksgiving coming up on Thursday.
Oh, my gosh.
And that should be fun. What are you going to do? You don't have family out here. Oh, you do.
Too much. Oh, no, I have family.
Yeah,
yeah,
you have...
very distant. I mean, they're distant relatives. And, you know,
right.
Great, great aunt, you know. So, I definitely plan on hanging out with them and who knows what else. I've been invited by a few different friends. So,
yeah.
It's very nice to have people, you know, that invite you. It's funny, though, because most people that live out here, you know, they're not from here.
Right.
So they don't have family out here, so they're all alone.
Yeah, they all look for people to hook up with.
Yeah, so we'll see. I'll probably meet up with a bunch of friends afterwards.
Uh-huh.
After hanging with my relatives.
Do you like the whole turkey thing?
Oh, I love it.
Do you?
Yeah, of course. Thanksgiving is not Thanksgiving without a homemade turkey.
That's true, yeah.
And all kinds of other
goodies. Everyone can make a good turkey, you know? You have to...
That's true.
You have to be lucky to go to a house where there's good
really?
Turkey.
Really? I've never had a bad turkey.
Really?
Never.
Because they can come out really dry if you don't make them right.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? But I always pour. I literally soup my turkey in gravy.
Do
like,
you?
It looks like soup. So no matter how dry it is, it can't be bad because it's in my gravy.
I know. But Thanksgiving is a fun holiday, I think, you know?
It's a time. I love it because it's this time of the year now. We have to look forward to Christmas coming up and New Year's. I get so excited even talking about it, you know? Everywhere I go, Christmas music is playing.
I know. It started already. I know.
Oh, yeah.
We got to start decorating the station this week. We'll do it after Thanksgiving, you know?
Yeah.
I just felt it was a little too soon.
Mm-hmm. Do you get a Christmas tree?
We'll probably get a small one, you know, because we were Jewish, you know. I mean, the thing is, so you try to sort of make it nice for everybody, you know, so we just get like a small fake one.
Cool, I got you.
Just for the, just to have something, you know, but we'll have a lot of decorations and stuff. I love Christmas decorations, you know.
Me too.
It's
Christmas
just amazing.
Lights.
Yeah.
Hugging, your cuddle buddies there, you got your hot chocolate, a fire. I mean, I just, so cliche, but I just love it.
Yeah, I could tell you grew up on the East Coast, you know, where
really?
It's cold. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, freezing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we don't have that kind of spirit during Christmas, you know.
Well, that's
we get
say.
Sunny days.
It is not as enjoyable here until I, you know, I bought my plane ticket for Maryland, Pennsylvania, and New York. I'm so excited.
Mm-hmm.
But... you know, I don't feel like it's winter and Christmas until I'm on the East Coast, honestly. Even like in my car, listening to Christmas music here, it just feels weird here.
Yeah.
It's not the same. Thanksgiving
and
New Year, or, you know, Christmas, New Year's, it's just not.
Yeah. It's got to be snowy and cold. That's what we picture of Christmas, you know. But I, you know, my favorite place during the holidays is New York City, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just all the decorations and the lights and the, you know, it feels festive.
Yeah,
in New
it does.
York, you know?
Oh, it's totally festive. You got the big, huge Christmas tree in Times Square that they light up and have a big show, you know, different performers, the Rockettes, you know, in New York.
Yeah.
Oh, just everything. I love it.
So you'll get to visit there during the holidays.
Oh, I will,
You said you're going to New York, too,
I'm
right?
I'm just not sure specifically when. You know, as much as I always say New Year's Eve, I'll be there, but... it's so chaotic and crazy for New Year's Eve. It's just with the ball.
That's a little too much, you know.
Yeah, so we'll see. I'm not quite sure when, but I'll be gone for 2 full weeks. So sometime in that, I'll be jumping on a bus and visiting my friends in New York.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Yeah, I'm excited. I get so excited. Yeah. I've been, you know, this is a time of year though when you want somebody special, you know, like you do want a relationship, but can I just have a relationship for like 1 month and then, you know, after the new year we can just be dating.
I see. So you want a special relationship just for the holidays.
Yeah.
Okay. A limited relationship.
Yeah. December.
No commitments here.
That's what I'll call it, my December boyfriend. Yeah. Just be my boyfriend for the month of December.
Yeah. So is it that hard for you to find a boyfriend? I mean, you're not really looking, are you?
It's not that I'm not looking. I am dating somebody currently.
Okay.
I think.
All right. All right.
But what does dating mean? That's the thing. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, that's what we need to ask you. What do you mean by dating?
Well, I mean, we're dating. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm seeing him. I'm going to bed with him. We do things. Okay, that's dating.
Yeah.
Okay. Well... so. What can I say? So just take advantage of that.
Yeah, I guess.
I guess you don't sound...
you know, the point, I'm all over the place. I don't know what I want. I mean, when it comes to that stuff, you know, just career-wise, I know what I want, and that's what keeps me sane. When it comes to guys, honestly, I've noticed from a recent experience, dating just makes me crazy.
Really?
I mean, it truly makes me crazy. My head just wants to explode. I get so... angry sometimes too, and you know, if it brings out the worst in you, why even do it?
Yeah,
if dating is gonna bring out the worst in me,
don't do
it, which it does. I mean, sometimes it literally, I feel like I'm turning into a monster. I'm just like,
really?
Yeah. But it's when it's that time of the month too, guys don't understand me, you know.
I guess we don't. Yeah.
I have to warn them, you know, if you get a weird text from me saying what the you know, something horrible and mean, it's just because I'm on my period.
Okay, remember that.
Yeah. But it's horrible. They don't deserve that.
Yeah, I guess
I'm
not.
I'm such a bitch.
Yeah, well, you know.
Anyway.
Men always have to take that.
I guess.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's call our author. And I see that he's in Australia, believe it or not. Yeah, I don't know if he... let's find out.
Does that mean he'll have the accent?
Yeah, let's find out what he's doing there in Australia.
Yes.
And Bob Pritchard.
Okay. Yeah.
I wouldn't mind being in Australia right now.
I know. I wonder what the weather's like.
It's summer now over there, yeah. It's a total opposite of what we have. Hello, Bob?
Hi.
Hi, Bob Pritchard. Good morning to you. Or I don't know what time it is there for you, but it's morning for us.
It's morning. It's early morning.
Oh, it is. Okay. And so this is Sam and Steph calling you from LA Talk Radio. And
yes.
We're calling you about your book, Kick-Ass Business and Marketing Secrets, How to Blitz Your Competition.
Right.
First, congratulations on the book. And
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you, do you live in Australia or are you just visiting there now?
I'm just visiting. I live in Los Angeles.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've lived in L.A. for 25 years, but my accent never seems to go away.
Yeah. I think it did right before you started.
That's so yeah. cool. So you've got an L.A. guy here.
Yeah, with an Australian accent.
Yeah.
yeah. So, Bob, I started reading your book, and I found it pretty interesting. You know, I mean, you take the marketing and advertising.
What do you mean, pretty interesting? It's fantastic.
Well, okay, I'm trying to underplay it a little bit in the beginning, but I found it. You know, different. I mean, you're taking on the advertising industry pretty much, and tell people that
sure.
what we're doing today is not working anymore.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sorry, a number of people have said that for a while, and the old joke used to be, 50% of advertising doesn't work, but we can never work out which half.
Right.
And there's no other profession where people would tolerate 50% of whatever it is you're doing not working and continue to do it. Well, Chiat Day, CEO, just a few years ago, said, front page of Time magazine, 95% of all marketing and advertising today does not work.
Right.
And yet keep on doing the same old stuff. And
yeah.
you wouldn't go to a brain surgeon that only got 5% right. Why the hell would you put up with it with advertising?
Right,
marketing?
Yeah. And so people spend all these billions of dollars and they don't really know if it's creating any business for them or not.
That's right. But the reality is, though, you can measure, with today's technology, you can measure absolutely everything.
Mm-hmm.
But people choose not to because it's easier not to. If you actually measured it and found out that it really wasn't working, then you'd have to get off your ass and do something.
Right.
And, you know, to a lot of people, that's just too hard.
Right. So now let's say this is with bigger agencies and stuff, but what about small businesses and stuff? What do you suggest that they do as far as advertising?
Well, you don't really have to do that much advertising, depending on the business that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, the research shows us that 75% of people try products due to word of mouth, and only 25% due to advertising. So if you give people absolutely knock-your-socks-off service where people walk away from doing business with you and go, wow, how good was that, then they'll come back to you.
Right.
If you don't, they won't, and they'll tell their friends. I mean, if you think about the last time you did business with anybody and really got blown away by their service, and service doesn't have to be the speed at which they serve you or any of that. It can be things like providing you additional information, providing you great ongoing service, providing advice. It can be a whole range of things,
right.
But something that differentiates them from their competitors. If you don't differentiate from your competitors, people buy based on price. If people buy based on price, then you've got to cut your prices to get the business. You cut the prices to get the business, you become less competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And sooner or later, you go out of business.
Right.
So
you definitely don't want to have to compete on price, right? Because then it makes it a commodity.
Don't.
Right. Wow.
But a study by Harvard Business School showed that of 51 different categories of business today, 46 of them are now commoditized. That means that they're competing on price.
Right.
And that's because people haven't differentiated themselves.
Hmm.
If you're just a me too, if you're the same as the next guy, but people think about, you buy a battery, people walk in and they buy an Ever Ready.
Uh-huh.
And if an Ever Ready is not available, they'll buy a Duracell. I say,
right.
They're about the same. There's no difference. So it doesn't matter. So they have to compete on price.
Right.
So
Yeah, I mean, that totally makes sense. So you say you have to differentiate and have what they call this, a unique value proposal or something like that, right? Proposition, I'm sorry.
It used to be a USP, unique selling proposition.
Right.
But that was in the days when it used to be supply and demand. A company that makes stuff in the stores or something. Might be business to business, but manufacture it and then hope somebody buys it. Today, we're really in a demand and supply situation that the demand makes it. Companies want to keep their stock low as possible. They want, you know, pretty much same time, same day delivery, all that sort of stuff. And so, in a demand and supply economy, it's called a consumer purchasing benefit, where most important person in the transaction is the consumer or the buyer. Doesn't matter whether it could be business to business, but the buyer is the most important person. So your CSP becomes critical, and there is a bit of a twist. The USP, which suggests that unique selling proposition, which suggests the seller is important, and the CPB, which suggests the buyer is the most important.
Right.
It's really quite simple. You just have to think it through.
Right. And I think a lot of things you discuss, you know, I mean, are classic marketing things that people don't really think about, you know. And I think, you know, putting the customer and understanding the customer and doing things that have not been done, right?
And yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Now, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Marketing got complicated. You know, some of the marketing campaigns are so complicated. How often do you sit there and watch a commercial or whatever, and you sit there and go, "Yeah, that was interesting, but what the hell was it for?"
Yeah.
I can't remember what the ad was for.
Right.
I mean, that's just throwing away money.
Right. So, what are some of the alternatives to that kind of advertising? What can people, companies do? I mean, obviously we have social networks now and things like this, but if you're on a budget, what are some of the ways that we can market the business and get results?
Yes.
Well, new media is certainly a huge advantage when it comes to marketing your product. You know, most businesses still tend to think of new media, which is your Facebooks and your Twitters and your mobile marketing and emails and all of that stuff. They still think of that in a lot of ways as still fodder for, you know, what you use if you want to gossip or you want to put pictures from the last party. But in fact, each of those are a fantastic marketing. Well, they're a marketing medium. They can be a sampling medium. You can use it for CRM. You can use it for selling product. You can use it for market research. You can use it for so many things.
Right.
And the advantage is it's real time. You get a result back immediately.
Right.
You can measure it immediately. You can change your message immediately. And you can build loyalty. And it also, one of the other problems with traditional media, which is, you know, all of the old forms of media, is that it is the advertiser yelling at you, you know.
Yeah.
It's not dialogue, it's monologue. So the guy who yells the loudest and the most often gets noticed.
Right.
And
but you need a lot of money for that.
You need a lot of money for that. You do need a lot of money for that.
Yeah.
And it's not effective, so you're wasting most. But with new media, for example, mm-hmm. you don't need that much money. You just need to be very clever. And
right.
everybody can be the same size when it comes to social media
right.
or to new media. And, you know, the fastest growing medium in the world for marketing and advertising is mobile.
Right.
And you can reach people one-on-one, you can have dialogue with them, they can come back to you, they can ask questions, and people want dialogue today. They don't want monologue. People are sick of being yelled at.
Mm.
And but the most important things are differentiate your product.
Right.
Have a CPB that, what a CPB does is that, for example, people were reluctant to buy chocolate for their kids when driving along in a nice new car with white upholstery.
Mm-hmm.
And then M&M's came along with melts in your mouth, not in your hand. And so people say, oh, I can buy this because this isn't going to melt and get all over the the seat, although it does. And so people instantly started buying it. There was a real spike in the number of people that bought the product simply because it had a great CPP. Domino's Pizza, 30 minutes or it's free.
Right.
It went through the roof. I mean, we know the effect that had on sales.
Right.
And it wasn't talking about the pizza at all. It wasn't saying you get a good pizza, a hot pizza, extra pepperoni or anything. It simply said you're going to get whatever we want to serve you, but you're going to get it quick. And so it hit the customer's hot button and it went through the roof. So if you've got a really carefully crafted CPB...
Right.
CPB? The CPB, Consumer or Customer Purchasing Benefit.
Okay.
If you've got a well-crafted CPB, then they can really cut through. And it doesn't matter whether you're a packaged good or whether you're a plumber. If you're a plumber that has a cut-through CPB, you will stand out among the 35 plumbers or 50 plumbers that are in your suburb.
Mm.
But people don't think these things through. That's the problem. We've got a bit lazy. Yeah. And not only that, most entrepreneurs or business people aren't trained marketers, and therefore they try to do their own marketing, try to do their own advertising because they're too small to use an agency or whatever. And so therefore they miss the finer points. You know, there's just little tricks to marketing that make them work. And a few years ago, you know, I'm one of those people that think and don't do anything. I can't build anything or change a washer or fix a tap or do any of that stuff. Every time I tried to hit in a nail, for example, I'd bend it. You know, it didn't matter how little the nail was, how big the nail was, I'd bend the bloody thing. Mm-hmm. So until a builder said to me one day, just run the nail through your hair before you put it in the wood, mm-hmm. and it'll go in more easily because the grease from your hair or the oil from your hair mm-hmm. will make the nail go in easier. Mm-hmm. And so, sure enough, once I started doing that, I'd never bend another nail. Now, that's just a simple trick that unless you're in the trade,
right.
you don't know.
Right.
Well, marketing and running a business are the same things. Unless you are aware of the little tricks that you need to do, then you don't get the result that you need.
Right.
So I set about writing this book to come up with 15 keys. It's essentially a book with 15 keys to being successful
mm-hmm.
in any business, no matter what it is, no matter how good your product is, even if your product is lousy. If you follow these 15 keys, you will be successful.
Mm.
Of course, if your product's really lousy, you won't be successful for too long.
Right.
But it will enable you to get sales and be successful, and it's really quite easy.
Right. And one thing interesting about the book you mentioned is marketing is every contact that you have with the customer. It doesn't just have to be advertising or customer service. Anytime somebody comes in contact with your company, that's marketing, right?
Yeah, it is. So if somebody if you've got an office, somebody walks into the foyer, then that is making an impression on that person. If they get a bad experience, they won't come back or they won't buy your product, no matter how good. If they phone you and you keep them waiting for 25 minutes and you give them 6 prompts before you talk to them, you are unlikely to get them back. If your delivery man walks muddle over your carpet, you're not likely to go back. But most people think that it's simply just the immediate transaction between the salesperson and the buyer. Right. But it's not. It comes down to every interaction that the company has with the customer.
Right.
And it's really interesting because in some businesses, you can have a dozen different contact points and dealing with a dozen different people before that transaction's really concluded. And unless every one of those is a wow, then you will lose the customer. But and I find that most people, most businesses, don't even know what those touch points are.
Mm.
You know, you sit down and say, well, what's your service like? And they say, well, you know, we deliver things within 2 hours. Well, that's fantastic. But, you know, if the delivery guy walks muddle over your carpet, you've just lost that customer.
Right.
So It's a combination of things, you know.
Yeah.
Being successful in business is bloody hard.
Yes.
95% of all businesses fail within 10 years. 95%.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
It's incredible. And it's because it's hard. It's hard to make a buck out there. Yeah. So you've got to do things properly, and you've got to really think about them. And if you do, you'll be successful. And, you know, it's interesting that there'll be five stationery stores or office supplies in one city, and one of them, in 5 years' time, one of them will have five stores and the other four will be out of business.
Right.
And they're selling the same stuff. They're selling the same paper, the same pens, the same everything, and yet one will succeed and the others won't. And the reason is that one's done their homework and done their... when running their business correctly, and the other four aren't.
Right.
I mean, it's a simple equation.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, the book, like you said, is fantastic. The name is Kick-Ass Business and Marketing Secrets, How to Blitz Your Competition. I like the title. And I think you definitely have great tools in there. And we really appreciate your time. Where can we find your book?
You can find it at any bookstore or Amazon. It's all over the place.
Okay, sounds good. And is this a new book? Did you just release it now?
This is about a month and a half old.
Wonderful.
It's my fifth book, and it's going very well.
Wonderful. Well, it must feel like the new baby in the family now. And
it does a bit, yeah.
Well, congratulations to you, Bob. Enjoy your time in Australia. And
thank you
so much for giving us the time this morning.
It's a pleasure. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
That's crazy, though.
Yeah.
He said, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
95% of companies do not last past 10 years.
Right.
That's crazy.
It is, huh?
Yeah. How long has LA Talk Radio been here?
4 years.
Okay, so you got about six more.
But
and then...
usually they say if you pass the first 3 years, then you have pretty good chances, you
That's
know?
That's good. Okay.
Yeah. I think so far I'm doing fine, you know.
Yeah, you're doing great.
But you've got to, you constantly have to stay on your toes, you know. There's competition. People try to copy you. People try to steal. And or just, you know, they try to compete with you in an honest way. But, you know, you've got to be prepared for that shit. You got to reinvent yourself every time. You know, I mean, I keep saying that. And it's not easy. You know, I mean, once you're doing well, it's tempting to just sit back and be comfortable and enjoy it. But you can't, you know, because it's constantly... forces on you that pressure you to change and do other things, you know.
Right.
So,
no, you have to always be on your feet. That's for sure.
Yeah.
It's crazy, like, you know, I mean, he said in the book, you know, it offers about like 15, you know, steps to becoming successful. But at the end of the day, even regardless of the steps you take, if it's not a good product or a company, or, you know, the item is the pricing or something, like, people are going to go elsewhere. They're going to find the best. So, I mean, you have to offer something great.
Yeah.
Something special.
And you
got
to remember that the customer doesn't care about you. They care about themselves, you know. And when you think about it, I mean, from the consumer's point of view, I agree with that. You know, I mean, when I go to buy a product, I don't care about the company. I care that the product's going to do for me what it says it will.
Right.
So
Oh my gosh.
So that's that. Yeah. So it's not easy being in business for sure. But you've got to believe, you've got to have passion, and, you know, you got to be able to visualize success, you know. And what they say is sometimes just act as if, you know. Act as if
it's bound to happen.
Yeah. So, you know.
That's true with everything in life, too, though. I mean, even like, you know, you can be a beautiful girl, but if you're insecure, I can't even talk this morning, you know, or don't show any kind of confidence, like, people see right through that, and you know, then you're not as pretty, or you know, a girl that's not perhaps as attractive, but is glowing from the inside, you know, and smiles a lot, and is just confident, like, you know, that's what people like.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, you can meet someone who's beautiful and everything, but you know, once you get over that, the looks and everything, then you have to deal with the real person. You know, with the complete person.
Dun, dun, dun.
And that's not easy. So you don't want to always judge a book by its cover, you know.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Did you watch Two and a Half Men last night?
No, I haven't watched it all, especially now that, like, I, you know, Demi Moore is finally going, is going to go through with the divorce.
Yeah.
Of Ashton Kutcher. I'm not, I don't know, I don't dig this dude anymore.
Really?
But why? How was it? Has it been
keeping
up?
No, it's pretty funny. Yeah, it's funny, you know. I mean, it's not the same as without Charlie, as when Charlie was in it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I still find it likable. You know, it's a funny show.
So, yeah, I need to watch it. But I actually recently checked on Hulu, because normally I just watch stuff online, catch little bits and pieces. But I don't think Two and a Half Men is on Hulu.
Oh.
Oddly enough, I don't know why.
Yeah. Mm. Well.
I'll have to find it online somewhere.
Yeah. So there's an article on Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher, and they're saying that the marriage has been deteriorating for a long time. So it's not just something new, you know.
I was going to say, well, what would drive somebody to cheat on their wife?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it had to have been deteriorating, or, you know, he obviously did not feel loved, and
maybe that's the case. Yeah, you never know. But yeah, they're saying that the marriage actually fell apart because of age. His wandering eyes and her insecurities. You see, I mean, when you're a 49-year-old woman...
He's giving her reason to be insecure, though.
Yeah.
Screw that.
And besides, I mean, but even if he didn't, you know, I mean, you're 49, you have a 33-year-old husband, you know he's going to, like, eventually feel you're getting older, you know, and he's going to want some younger meat.
That sucks. That's horrible, though.
So, but they're saying that Ashton was ready to end it, but he wanted to wait for Demi to actually do it. So maybe that's why he cheated. Yeah, maybe he knowingly did that.
That's interesting.
So to end the marriage, you know. But
what
a stupid way to do it, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's horrible. Poor Demi, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she's got two kids. She's good friends. She's on good terms with Bruce Willis, right?
Yeah.
But Ashton, shame on you.
Well, she should have thought about it in the beginning, you know. But
so you're basically saying women don't ever marry a younger dude.
No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying, but...
They're super young, though. Like, that kind of a difference, because it's bound to...
Yeah.
It's bound to just...
I guess. I don't know.
Deteriorate.
I mean, a 15-year difference. You know, I mean, I don't know that... You know, 33 and 49 is not a big... deal, you know. I mean, at 33 you're already an adult, you know what you want, blah blah blah, so there's stuff to talk about with a 49-year-old, you know. But you know, I mean, if she married someone who's 28 or something, she may not have
a lot to talk
to him about.
Sure.
You know,
but the funny thing is also you say the reverse, though, of, you know, an older man with a younger woman. It's totally different.
Right.
Totally different.
No, it is different, that's for sure. You know, I don't know why it is, but it is. You know, I think maybe society is just used to the man being a little older in a relationship.
Yeah. I mean, I have to admit, like, the second I hear a guy might be even a year younger than me, it's already a turnoff.
Really?
Yeah, I'm just kind of, oh, no.
Too young for me.
Yep. Yeah. What do you mean?
Yeah, well, that would be 23, right? That's pretty young.
Even a guy that's a year older than me, you're too young for me. You're too young.
Oh, man.
Guys in their 20s, it's just not... You gotta, you know, at least 30 years old.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, my gosh. Kristen Wiig, gotta love her. And I just love her. You saw the movie Bridesmaids, right?
I did, yes.
Okay. She was named by GQ Bro of the Year.
Bro of the Year?
Bro of the Year, yeah.
Why?
Because she's a sexy, funny girl, you know, sexy dude, and it's just been her breakout year, you know. She's been recognized on Saturday Night Live nonstop, supporting roles, but... She came out this year with Bridesmaids, which she not only was in as the lead, but she wrote it, you know. She wrote it with one of her partners, co-wrote it.
Right.
And, they're considering that movie literally the funniest movie of the year. So good for her.
Wow.
And I was reading this article, though, because I've seen her in a few interviews, and it's just funny. She's very shy, they said. I mean, she is outstandingly shy, which, you know, you would never guess considering what she does in front of the camera, but that's how a lot of actors are.
Yeah.
In the comics especially, you know, they're not as comfortable revealing, you know, like being that way unless it's a performance.
Yeah.
The second you're being watched as entertainment, it's different.
Yeah, it really is. You know, I mean, I've felt that throughout my life as well, you know, that, you know, sometimes you're shy when you're with just a few people, but when you're in front of a crowd, you know, because I used to play the guitar and sing since I was very young. So I sort of like got that confidence of a performer, mm-hmm. you know, to be able to stand in front of people. But it doesn't mean you can't be shy in your private life, really? You know, and people
oh, yeah.
are.
I am too. I mean, like, God forbid, unless I have some drinks in me. But, you know, like, I cannot do karaoke. A friend of mine took me to a karaoke place, and uh-huh. I couldn't get up.
No, huh?
I could not get up and do it. I was terrified.
Wow.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
A lot of people are like that, I think.
Yeah, I guess, you know.
Or they get
confident.
Annoyed, too, because the second you tell somebody you're an actor, it's like, oh, do something for me. I'm like, what are
do
you?
Something.
Jesus, I'm not a little doll. You
yeah,
can just...
what the hell you wanted to do for
yeah.
you?
I don't have these, like, monologues just ready to spill to you. To be or not to be.
Yeah.
Jesus, trying out loud.
Did you hear about Michelle Williams doing the Marilyn Monroe film? That's
oh, going to yes.
come out soon.
Mm-hmm.
So she was on...
I'm excited to see that.
Yeah. She was on Piers Morgan last night, and it was... She seems pretty like a cool girl, you know? I mean,
she
I
is.
Never
she's
knew
so
much
tiny.
Of her.
She's so tiny. She's like so petite. It drives me nuts.
Yeah.
But she's just stunning. I mean, did you ever see the movie, oh gosh, what was it called? Her and Blue Valentine with Ryan Gosling.
Never saw that.
Okay. Well, it's a fairly new one. I mean, they were up for, I think, you know, some awards last year.
Mm-hmm.
But Blue Valentine, whew. That was a good one. Very
was it
dramatic.
Pretty steamy?
Oh, yeah. Steamy yeah. and dramatic. And
oh.
just. Effed up, but you know how I like the effed up
yeah.
movies. No, I'm excited to see this movie of her and her. I heard
yeah.
they had to pat her up though because she was too skinny, you know. For
yeah.
Marilyn Monroe was known for her curves.
Right, and the hair also. She says it was a wig, you know.
Ah.
Yeah, because she was on Piers Morgan last night, and he asked her. He said, would you like to keep the? Why don't you wear your hair like Marilyn did? And she says it involves too much bleaching, you know.
Wow.
Although her hair is pretty light, too, you know. I mean, her hair looks bleached, too.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I mean, any
life.
Blonde, for the most part, that's an adult, I mean, they do stuff to their hair. Give
yeah.
me a break, you know.
Yeah. So she was married to Heath Ledger, right?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. I believe they were married, right? I mean, they were definitely together.
They had a kid or
yeah.
two together, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
How devastating. How truly... I mean, I believe when he died, though, they were not together. They were either separated or they're...
Right, they were separated, I think.
Yeah, but how sad.
Yeah, I know. He was a cool guy, you know?
Incredibly talented. But that Joker role in Dark Knight, I mean, that... Whew,
yeah.
Was, that did his head over, I bet.
Yeah.
Just watching him in that was creepy and scary.
Yeah, that was a good performance, you know?
Oh, yeah.
The whole
he won
movie...
an Oscar for it.
Yeah.
Supporting role.
Yeah.
yeah.
I know. I wasn't crazy about the Batman movie, but his performance was good.
Yeah.
It was definitely unforgettable.
I agree.
You know, he made the Joker into this dark, you know, this
yeah,
dark
really
villain.
Really dark, yeah.
yeah.
I mean, disgustingly scary.
Yeah. And like, you
I
know,
love,
when...
I also love Aaron Eckhart, though.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. He played Kent, I believe.
Kent? Who's Kent?
Wait, I don't know. I don't know. I'm making up names now. He's the blondie one. He's the one that's, you know, dating, what's her name?
No, I know who Aaron okay. Eckhart is, but I didn't realize he was in that movie.
Talking out of my butt. No, he's definitely in that movie. He's so handsome.
Yeah, you think so?
Yes.
Yeah.
Cursing baby doll upsets parents. There's a baby doll that's being sold at Toys R Us right now.
Really?
And it curses.
Wow. And nobody knew about this or what?
Well, obviously they had to know. I mean, they, you know, you don't just buy toys and sell them at your store without knowing what they do.
Yeah.
You know, it's an interactive play and giggle doll and it's shelved. Yeah. Oh my God. It says, you crazy bitch.
Really?
Yeah. It's a baby doll. It says, you crazy bitch.
Wow.
I would have a problem with that too. A baby doll.
I mean how many people did it have to be okayed by before it fucking reached the shelves, you know?
I don't know.
I mean, how many people actually sat there and said, yeah, we can sell this thing?
They had to have not known. I mean, there's no way.
No, but the people
knew.
In the company that made it.
Oh,
you
the
know?
Company that made it. Yeah.
Yeah.
What are they
you
thinking?
Know, what are they thinking?
I think they're just trying to get a rise out of people, you know, trying to get some exposure here.
Probably. Yeah. Anything. Yeah.
That's going to make it in the news. For
yeah.
Sure.
Even when you do negative things, you get, you get featured in the news.
Yeah. And what kind of parent would... nobody would ever buy that. Nobody. I mean, I think it's more so for, like, adults that think it's just funny crap, you know?
Right.
It's like buying this baby for your boyfriend, you know?
Yeah.
Check this out, man. You crazy bitch.
Or like the book, you know, Go the Fuck to Sleep. Already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These dolls are intended for children 2 and up.
Wow.
A Toys R Us spokeswoman told Fox 23 that the retail store has not received widespread complaints and said the offending phrase is just baby talk.
Oh, really?
You crazy bitch, it's just baby talk.
Oh, so I guess Toys R Us are okay with that, too.
Yeah, that's crazy. They're saying they haven't received that many complaints. But that, come on!
Who the hell's going to buy their daughter a doll that says... what'd you say? Watch
it, bitch? I have to admit, you crazy bitch.
You crazy bitch.
I think I would personally just buy it for myself, just as like, this is hysterical, and what kind of idiots would do this, you know? But not little kids, no way, you know? I mean, it's teaching them to cuss, you know? I mean, kids, when they hear the stuff, they say it.
Yeah. They do. They do. They imitate everything, man.
Yeah, I had a mouth on me when I was a kid. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I know. That's how they learn. They mimic everything you say.
Yep. It's true, but my parents never cussed.
Yeah?
Yeah, my parents never cussed in front of me, but I went to such a horrible school, so it was just, it was everywhere.
Yeah.
Cussing was the one thing. Like, I was a good kid. I considered myself an angel. You know, I didn't really do anything wrong, but I had a mouth on me.
Yeah.
And I was not afraid to use it. I would speak up and speak my mind.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you ever get into trouble because of it?
Yeah, I did a lot, actually.
Yeah.
But I was very connive. I don't know. I was evil. I knew how to get out of things, you know? I don't know. I was bad. Yeah, I guess I was bad when it came to that. My mouth got me in trouble all the time.
Yeah.
Especially with teachers. Because I thought I was smarter than them. I thought, you know, what am I doing here?
Typical teenager, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how the teenagers are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can tell them what's right, what's wrong, you know? This is...
And also, if you have a teacher that's just dumb as rocks, too, I mean, come on, can you blame me? They're teaching you stuff that's not even correct half the time. Anyway.
So what was the school like that you went to? I mean, you said it was pretty culturally diverse.
Yeah.
And...
oh, man. Well, my high school especially... High Point High School in PG County. Mm. PG County is, like, known for crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was just, I mean, I loved it, first of all. I loved it. I loved my school. I had some great friends. But, yeah, I mean, it was probably not even 1% white people.
Mm.
The rest was predominantly, black and Hispanic. And everyone was pregnant. Kids making out everywhere, lots of fights. Constant
metal
fights.
Detectors in the school.
What? They have them now at the school, but not when I don't think they had metal detectors when I was there, but there were cops, you know. I mean, when the bell rang, there were always cops.
Really?
Yeah, in the halls.
Wow. Mm-hmm,
making sure everything was fine. I mean, there were times where, you know, kids would, you know, a teacher would leave the room for 5 seconds and a kid would piss in her coffee cup. I mean, crazy things would happen. That's why I considered myself very good. I was a very well-behaved kid. But it was a crazy school.
Yeah.
But my group of friends, too, were also, for the most part, really well-behaved. At least compared to everybody else.
Right.
You know, we were in the drama club, so we were focused on, you know, directing the school plays and getting all that stuff up and running.
Yeah.
But it was a crazy school. I mean, one of my friends got shot and killed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. In Spanish class. He was my Spanish partner.
Uh-huh.
Why? I don't know, because he is Spanish. Like, it's like one of those things where it's like, I'm like failing miserably, can barely speak 10 words of Spanish. I just don't learn language as well.
Yeah.
And then you've got a guy in here who's Spanish, grew up speaking the language. It's like, that shouldn't even be fair. You should have to take another language.
Yeah, absolutely.
You should not be allowed to take Spanish. Anyway, though, he did get, he got shot.
Yeah, an easy A.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And finally, did you hear about the cops pepper spraying the Occupy Wall Street people at UC Davis up here in Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually videos of the police pepper spraying them.
Wow.
And so I guess some cops and were suspended. You know,
really?
Even the police chief of the campus and two officers were suspended.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, you have to wonder. I mean, I mean, you probably never experienced pepper spray in your eyes, but let me tell you, I haven't either, but it can't possibly be fun, you know?
No, I can't imagine. It's got to be miserable. I actually, my high school sweetheart, he was nuts. I used to carry pepper spray around because my dad made me, you know what I mean? Because of the neighborhood we were in. But my high school sweetheart, the pepper spray was expired, apparently.
Uh-huh.
So my high school sweetheart's like, oh, this will, you know, I wonder, you know, it can't work. I wonder if it works. He didn't spray it in his eyes, but he sprayed it in his mouth.
Really?
Yeah, I'll never forget. It was in my kitchen with my mom and my sister. And literally for like an hour, just saliva is like pouring out of his mouth. He's like screaming. His like mouth is numb. He's got his mouth in the faucet. And
wow.
It was horrible.
That's
couldn't, like, for me, when I see people in pain, I laugh my ass off at.
Yeah.
So it's really bad. You know, my mom's freaking out. My sister's like, what do we do? Let's call 911. And he's like, no, don't call 911. We're fine. It's like, why the hell would you spray pepper spray in your mouth?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. People do crazy shit, man.
They do.
All right, Steph, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll be here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Steph in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, only right here on LA Talk Radio. If you have a question for one of our hosts, or if you would like to inquire about starting your very own talk radio show, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Steph in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.